Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. I'm Rita Halk Lane, your host for the next hour. And I want to thank you for all of your support. I've had some really nice feedback from some of you, and it's been very encouraging. As you well know, I'm new at this, and I need a lot of prayer. And I just thank you for listening and being so encouraging. May the Lord bless you and me abundantly this hour as we seek to go deeper in our relationship with Him and with each other. I want to, in today's second reading at Mass, it was from the, it was during the Psalms, the responsorial Psalms today at Mass. There was one phrase that I've talked to you about before, and I want to repeat it because this is the Lord speaking. He himself said, "Those who offer praise as a sacrifice honor me. Those who offer praise as a sacrifice honor me." And we've talked about this before, how the Scripture also says that the Lord lives in our praises. So it makes him so happy when we sacrifice our time and maybe our own feelings and praise him, either in our own words or through, you know, Holy Scripture. And part of the reason why is because he doesn't need our praises, obviously, but it's good for us. It is a way of our expressing to, you know, in our hearts and in our minds that he is God and we are not. And we praise him because he's good to us. And we praise him that for what we have. And so, anyway, It's really a good thing to praise. And so we're going to start with that. Okay, let's see. What do we have here? Psalms 93. The Lord is king, adorned in splendor. The Lord has clothed and girded himself with strength. He has made the world firm, never to be moved. Your throne has stood firm from the beginning, O Lord, and you have existed throughout all eternity. The waters have lifted up, O Lord. The waters have lifted up their voice. The waters have lifted up their roar. More powerful than the roar of mighty waters, more powerful than the crashing waves of the sea, mighty on the high is the Lord. Your decrees are firmly established. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, throughout all the ages. So, we are... we're having a little technical difficulties, but hang in there. It'll get fixed in a minute. I just want to thank the Lord for all of you. I want to thank the Lord for my life and the people in it. I want to thank the Lord that I am living in America. So many people want to come here. It's hard to believe that anybody could say that this is a horrible place to live. So I thank you, Lord, that we are here. You know... I want to read to you a statement, the statement that Archbishop Nelson Perez put out after the political rally and the violence of the political rally a couple of nights ago. This is what he said, and we need to take it to heart, okay? I was deeply saddened and dismayed to learn of the shooting that took place today during a rally with former President Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. I call on the people of the church in Philadelphia to join me in prayer for the swift recovery of former President Trump and the attendee who was injured, that those who were killed will rest in the peace of the Lord, and that God will console those mourning the loss of a loved one. Americans must join in solidarity to condemn today's acts of political violence and violence in all forms. Working together, we can resolve our differences through peaceful dialogue and conquer the sin of hatred. I'm going to read that last thing again. Americans must join in solidarity to condemn today's act of political violence and violence in all forms. Working together, we can resolve our differences through peaceful dialogue and conquer the sin of hatred. Working together. May our Blessed Mother, Patroness of the Americas, strengthen our resolve to encounter all of our brothers and sisters with compassionate hearts and open minds while bringing peace to our country. And that was the end of his thing. Emotions are high right now. There's a lot of things going on, and it's very, very sad. Some of it's great. There's a lot of unity, and a lot of community in what's going on since that happened, and it's really, really a wonderful thing to see. Many of us are setting aside our differences and saying, okay, we need to work together. These kind of things shouldn't happen, no matter who they happen to. And we need to, step up to the plate and do what we need to do. So that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit today. I recently experienced something that was very distressing to me. And I'm not going to tell you all the details, but basically, I have a number of text feeds that I send out reminders to people that I'm going to be on the air, and it's a lot of work because there's a lot of people that want to hear about it, and I send out. I have one text feed that's got 20 people in it. It's friends, family members, various people that I know and love very, very much. And I had never put anything on that. I'd only put announcements. I'm going to be on today. Here's the time. Here's how you see me. And that was it. I didn't put anything else on there. But the other night when this shooting happened and all the horror of it came, I put on all my text feeds, please pray for our nation. I didn't mention any people or anything. I just, please pray for our nation. This is a travesty. No matter who it was aimed at, it was a travesty. And so all of a sudden, all these things started happening on that text feed that were very, very sad to me. And it was a combination of various friends I love from various walks of life. Some are pro-Trump, some are pro-Biden. I mean, it's a little of everybody, and all of a sudden it turned into a political mess. And it was so distressing to me that I really couldn't hardly sleep that night. So I want to address some of that, because all of these people that were in this distressing text conversation, as far as I know, are Christian. And we have to remember who we are as Christians. We're Christians before we're political people. We're Christians before we fight. We're Christians before we do anything. You know, Jesus is our president. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is the one we follow. We hope that others, our fellow men, will rise up to the occasion and be the best people that they can be in union with Jesus Christ, and that we can do that too. But you know, sometimes you just have to let go of your hope in man, because, when I say man, I mean humankind, because they can really be distressing and disappoint us. And Those of you who are on Facebook, we're really having some trouble with the camera. So hang in there. Hopefully it'll get straightened out. But I don't know about you, but current events have really revealed to me in a way that's fresh and new just how far we have drifted as a nation, not only from the Lord, but also from each other. Respecting each other, caring, having patience, encountering each other, learning from each other, talking with each other, sharing with each other. We are so far from that now that it's absolutely a little frightening. Because we as Christians cannot go there. We cannot go there. We can have differences of opinion. We can have differences of how we want to deal with the problems in the world. You know, we all have different ideas. And if we share those ideas, we might actually come up with some good solutions to the problems. But everybody's stuck in this, I'm right, you're wrong, this politician is good, this one's evil. It's there's no middle ground anymore. And we Christians cannot fall for that. We Christians cannot fall for that division. We can't. You know, Jesus said, they will know you are Christians by your love. Our love for Him, our love for His way, our love for living His way, our love for each other. That is who we are as Christians. And it's not about my way or the highway. It's not about canceling anyone. It's not about all of these ways that the evil one has dreamed up for us to be divided by. And believe me, I've lived a long time. I have never seen anything like this in my lifetime. And I bet you each one of you listening, if you're of a certain age anyway, we'll say the same thing. This is unprecedented. Unprecedented. Okay. I want to share with you a few things that have come from my prayers over the last 2 days and from things that people have shared with me. And the first thing is, even if you don't believe in what the Bible says, the sacred scriptures of the Bible, if you don't believe in them, okay, I'm sorry to hear that, okay, but I respect your opinion. But I couldn't live without scripture. I couldn't live without it. It has been my companion all my life, and it feeds you. It enlivens you, it encourages you, it teaches you, and it sets you on the right path when you're on the wrong path. And so even if you don't believe in the Bible or even in Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, there's so much wisdom in this book, so much wisdom that you can actually learn from it even without being a believer. So I'm going to ask you to hang in there with me during this hour as I talk about some things that we need to address, but also some very hope-filled, encouraging things that come through the scriptures. So, when we're dealing with all these things that are going on in the world right now, which most are very sad to me, it takes a lot for me to be sad, because for me, in reality, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I've been through so much in my life, I always know that the Lord will come through. I always know that good will come out of bad. I always know that, and it keeps me going, and I have great deep faith and joy most of the time. But I'll tell you, since this thing happened and all of these people came out and said things that were so shocking to me, I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it. And it really has dampened my joy. So that tells you a lot. But what I want to focus on today, if you will allow me to share with you is the first thing we need to do as Christians, as believers, and as human beings is to accept who we are. Accept who we are. Scripture says that none of us is perfectly holy and perfect in our being. Okay, and in Romans 3:23, it says there is no distinction. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, we aren't God. He's holy, he's remarkable, he's perfect love and perfect judgment. And we don't have perfect love and we don't have perfect judgment. Okay, so all we are sinners, even though when we are baptized and become believers, we are infused with the Holy Spirit who makes it possible for us to walk away from sin. But a lot of times we choose not to and deliberately walk into sin. That's not God's fault. That's our fault. Okay. But so all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The people that you love and the people you hate and you and me have all sinned. We all are sinners and have come short of the glory of God. No matter how right we think we are, no matter how well educated we think we are still flawed. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And so, you know what happens sometimes? We might not say, oh, I have no sin. But we might say, we might excuse the sins in our lives. It's that person's fault that I'm this way. It's that person's fault that these things have happened to them. It's that person's fault that that I can't get closer to the Lord. You know, blaming others or blaming a situation is no excuse. Sorry. Doesn't hold water with God. Okay? So, we're all sinners. That's the first thing that we need to know. Okay? The second thing that we need to know is we are in a very powerful spiritual battle. A very powerful spiritual battle. Deny this at your own peril. Because as Christians, we have great power, we have great strength, and great ability to combat that power and to rise above that evil and to bring the beauty of God into the world. So don't deny that we're in a spiritual battle. I did a study on angels, biblical study on angels years ago in my parish. And in the bulletin announcement for it was a little description of the different types of angels and their jobs. And one of them was about, you know, assisting us in this spiritual battle of life. And oh my goodness, you would have thought that I said that that we were all going to, you know, where, you know, the bad place, like overnight. Because, you know, I got these emails and these phone calls from these people who said there's no such thing as evil. We're not to do battle with anyone. All the battles in the Old Testament were misunderstood. And all this kind of stuff. I mean, it was just unbelievable. I didn't understand why they were responding that way. Because if you read the New Testament, you read the Bible, it's filled with spiritual battles and indications of evil is real. And Satan is real, folks. He is real. Quit denying him because he's got you in the palm of his hand if you're in denial of that. So we have to realize we're in a very powerful spiritual battle. And I want to read to you something you may have never heard before. It's in the book of Revelations, the last book in the Bible, and it's in chapter 12. And there's a whole lot leading up to this. Apparently, the devil and his minions were all very high-placed angels. and they were given free will like us to choose to follow and serve the Lord or choose not to. And for some reason, the evil one chose not to. And he said, I will not serve you, and I will not serve mankind. And so he and his minions were cast out of heaven. And actually, they came to earth. And they have been doing their dirty stuff ever since then. But in the book of Revelations, this has happened after he was thrown out of heaven. And this is where it picks up. Verse 13. When the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child, Jesus, the Blessed Mother. But the woman was given two wings of the great eagle, so she could fly to her place in the desert, where far from the serpent, she was taken care of for a year, 2 years, and a half year. Okay. The serpent, however, spewed a torrent of water out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with the current. But the earth helped the woman and opened its mouth and swallowed the flood that the dragon spewed out of its mouth. This is all figurative language that we don't know exactly what it means, but it's obvious that the evil one is after Our Lady. And he tries to overcome her, and he can't. Then the dragon became angry. He became angry with the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, who are those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus. I'm going to read that to you again. The dragon became angry because he could not defeat her and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus. That's you and me, folks. He is at war against us. Deny it at your own peril. Look around you. How can you deny it? How can you deny that he does not have a lot of people in his power doing great evil in the world? And if it's not great evil, it's disruptive. It's chaos. It's divisions. It's family member against family member. It's unbelievable. It's right there in our face. The church is protected by God in its own special way. Jesus said that. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. There's a special grace given to the church by God himself in protection against the evil one. Yeah, there's been evil popes. There's been evil people coming and going and leadership and stuff like that. But the church itself has always recovered and prevailed because God himself sees to it. He sees to it. But each Christian is, you know, attacked by the evil one. And when we're united with the church, we have strength and power. And when we're united with you, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we have strength and power. And, you know, Jesus himself said, in the world you will have troubles, but take heart. Take heart. I've overcome the world. Don't give in to what, you know, somebody said, I think it was Kathleen McCarthy, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Don't go with it. In other words, don't let the world drag you down from your lofty height as a child of the one true God into its depths of mire and muck that the evil one controls. Don't go with it. Be who you are, a chosen child of God. And that's not just hyperbole and, you know, made up stuff. It is the truth. It is the truth. Okay. And then, so we see, and you may not have known it, that the dragon is angry and he has come to make war on Our Lady's offspring, the believers in her son, and those who obey the Lord. Okay. Then in Ephesians 6, St. Paul says, finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. See, he says on the armor of God, not on the armor of human reasoning, intellect, emotions. Put on the armor of God himself, who wants us to be battle ready, that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil, not against each other, against the influences and the tactics that the evil one pulls on us. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, in other words, with other people, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Our struggle is with evil powers and world rulers who are living in this darkness, and the evil spirits here and above. Therefore, put on the armor of God that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, hold your ground. See, when we are connected to him, it's just like Jesus being in the boat with us. We are more than conquerors. We have hope. We know that this is not all that's going in the world. We know that behind the scenes, in some really profound ways, God is working. And this is a real, real battle. From in Scripture, from the early pages of the book of Genesis, all the way to the book of Revelations, it's spoken about. The evil against good, the sinner against the godly, you know, all this. It's all through Scripture. If you haven't read it, read it and find it out. Satan is revealed as a real angelic being who steals, kills, and destroys. He wants no joy, no success, no good in your life. And he's going to try to rob it every time you turn around. And so we're going to take a break in a minute, and I'll be back. I'm hoping that you'll come back and join me, because we have a lot to talk about today, about what's going on in the world, it from a perspective that I hope will encourage you and help you to, you know, be more optimistic and hopeful. So God bless you. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610 527-2906, or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for sticking with me if you've been listening the last half hour, and if you haven't and you've just joined me, welcome, welcome. Quick little review. We are in very trying times, and one of the things that I wanted to point out is that we have to accept who we are in order to be effective Christians or even non-believers in the world. We have to accept who we are. We are all flawed. We are all sinners. Whether you believe it or not, we are all sinners and flawed. There is none of us perfect. And then, and the Lord actually blesses all of us, sinners and saints, because he loves all of us. He's very patient with all of us. He lets us do things that that make him very unhappy and deprive us of grace, because he wants us to learn that he really is the way. And if we keep making pulls away from him, then it's really, we end up not very happy. Anyway, we have to accept that we are sinners, and then we have to realize that we're in a very powerful spiritual battle. We must not deny that. Scripture talks about it from the beginning to the end. And the evil one has, in Revelations, he's making war on Our Lady's children, which are those who are obedient and to God and believe in Jesus Christ and follow him. So you are in a battle, whether you like it or not. And so I want to encourage you, because that explains some of these crazy things that are going on in the world around us, because he's very active right now. Anyway, scripture says that Satan steals, kills, and destroys. He wants to destroy everything. He takes our joy, our peace, the good things created by God for us. He tries to corrupt them. He tries to kill our faith and our affection for each other and our ability to determine that we are walking down a wrong path. He kills our conscience, if we allow him. Obviously, we have the power not to, but we have to be on guard always. He destroys us through persecution. He tries to destroy us, let's put it that way. He always is stirring up, evil and horrible things in this world, and we have to be on guard. We Christians have to be the balm. We have to be the encouragers. We have to be the ones who see the beauty of what is all around waiting to be infused to take the place of that evil and awfulness and how to get there. Third, as Christians, we have the grace. We have to realize who we are, sinners and imperfect. We have to realize we're in a spiritual battle. And the third thing is we have to realize that we have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavens by God. We have the power and might of God himself through the Holy Spirit and available. But do we ask to be used by him? Do we ask to have that power in our lives? Do we seek to be his instruments in the world that wipe out all of that yuckiness that's out there surrounding us? After Jesus warns us about, Jesus himself said that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He himself said that. Right after that, though, he says, but I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You can choose the evil one who wants to steal, kill, or and destroy, or you can choose the wonderful one who loves you beyond all measure, who has come that we might have spectacular life, not only in eternity, but right now, here. Abundant life in spite of all the yuck that's going on out there. So, in other words, we have to be authentic Christians, authentic ones. There's a lot of people walking around in the world who think that they're Christian, or they might even be lying and saying they're Christian, but in reality, their hearts are far from God. Their hearts are far from God, and we who try to love Him and receive His love have to be on guard that we don't let our hearts get far from Him. So we have to be authentic Christians that the Lord can use to be His instruments of healing in the world. Healing happens of mind, body, and soul. We are His instruments. And I want to share with you St. Teresa of Avila. You've heard this before, probably. Christ has no body but now, but yours. No hands, no feet on earth, but yours. Yours are the eyes through which He looks, compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which He walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which He blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are His body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Do you realize how amazingly wonderful that is? That we can walk in the power and strength and love of Jesus Christ filling us and taking it out into the world and helping Him heal minds, bodies, and souls, and to feed the poor, and in our prayers rain down glorious riches of grace from heaven. This is what we have been called to do, my friends. We are not called to be engrossed in the evil and the nastiness that's all around us. We are called to be above it. We are called to be united with Jesus Christ, united with Him. One of the most serious problems out there right now is the media and politicians have convinced many of us that we must judge one another, we must condemn one another, reject each other, argue with each other, spit on each other, and hate each other. I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime. Friends, family, it's unbelievable. We must fight this. This is demonic, y'all. This is demonic. This is not the natural way of humans who choose the good and believe in Jesus Christ. Many of us have allowed these evil forces and politics and media to stir up so much anger and viciousness in our hearts that we immediately jump on each other with nasty words and actions. This is what Monsignor was talking about in the last hour. There's no dialogue. There's no sharing. There's no, hey, why don't you share with me why you feel this way about this politician or this social issue or whatever. Let's have a civil, respectful conversation with each other. I want to learn from you. You know, your opinion matters to me. You know, maybe I'll learn something. You know, let me hear your voice. And so this immediately jumping and rejecting each other is very destructive, and it's not from God. It is not from God. And when we play into it, we are not instruments of the Lord. You don't want to hear that? I'm sorry, it's true. When we play into that destructive, hateful, canceling culture, we are not being instruments of God. And we must realize that and reject it and put on the armor of God and be strong, filled with the power of God that is love and unity and respect. The world out there tries to tell you that we Christians are nasty, awful people. Well, yeah, we can be. It's the human condition. But when we are living in the grace of God and being ask Him to use us as His chosen instruments, we receive graces that allow us to be healing, wonderful people in the world. And all of that other stuff becomes lies. All of it becomes lies. But in Matthew 7, 1 through 5, Jesus says, not me, stop judging, that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged, and the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove that splinter from your eye, while the wooden beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite! Remove the wooden beam from your own eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. He's telling us, you know, we, no matter how right we think we are, and no matter how much we think the other person is wrong, and they're the scum of the earth, and, you know, they're a Trump supporter, or they're a Biden supporter, or whatever, no matter what we think, we need to turn around and look at ourselves first. Because we are probably just like that person, but in a different way. You know, we have to realize that we are not perfect, and that we don't have all the knowledge. We don't have all of the wisdom. We are not little mini gods walking around with all the answers. God is the only one that has the answers. And when we're not in union with Him, we really don't have the answers. And as a nation, we're not in union with Him. As individuals, we can be. But as a nation, we are not in union with Him. If you read the book of Judges in Scripture, and it's all through Scripture, when things were going well, the people of God would say, well, you don't need God. We made this ourselves. We're so spectacular. You know, our God is our work. Our God is our pride. You know, and they would reject God, and they would put Him away. You know, they might still go to a synagogue, but they kind of put Him on the back burner because they were so full of all this joy and happiness that they had made for themselves. And so in the book of Judges, it says that the Lord gave them over because they rejected Him. The Lord gave them over to their own desires. In other words, you know what you want. You're happy? Okay, go for it. But without God, chaos rules. Steals, kills, destroys, disunity. Horrible things happen. So He gave them over to their own desires. In other words, what they felt was right versus what He told them was right or wrong. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. What does that sound like, y'all? Does that not sound like what is going on in the world today? Everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. They don't care what God says. They don't care what the law says. They don't care what common sense says is the right thing to do, let alone God's word and the law. So, stop judging. We're all in this together. We all need to be improved. And then Jesus says in Luke 9, they're going to Jerusalem, unfortunately, where He is going to be crucified, but they're on their way to Jerusalem, and He goes through Samaritan territory. And the Samaritans are very hostile. Sounds familiar. Very hostile to them because they don't agree with them and they don't believe in God. You know, they think that's, you know, they're at odds with each other. So they're very hostile. And it says, when the days for his being taken up to Jerusalem were fulfilled, he was resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception in Jerusalem, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. They would not welcome them because they were going to vote for Biden or Trump. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them because they're so horrible? And Jesus turned and looked at them and rebuked them. This is us in today's world. You don't agree with me, you're the scum of the earth. You know, Lord, chastise them, kill them, do whatever you got to do. You know, kill the evil Trump, kill the evil Biden. I mean, what a horrible, horrible thing to say and think. But we do sometimes, and it's a horrible thing. And Jesus turned and rebuked them. Rebuked them. And they journeyed to another village. He's showing us in today's world that those who disagree with or reject us are not to be punished severely or spoken hatefully against. This was Jesus. Okay. Then in Luke 23, the most evil sins ever committed in human history were happening. And this is what Jesus said. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The most evil thing that had ever happened in the world was happening there. And Jesus said, forgive them. Nothing in the world compares to that. And he's saying, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. In other words, all of us do things because of our past, what we believe, the work we do, so many things. And in our imperfect way, we screw up and we do things that we shouldn't do, all of us. And Jesus is saying right here, forgive each other. Because none of us really, truly understand what we're doing when we're doing wrong. This shows his extreme mercy and love and shows us, by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, the extreme mercy and love that we can offer others to and should have to others. No matter what we've done or been or where, how we're living, if we go to Jesus, he's going to welcome us and he's going to give us a newness to walk away from that evil. And we need to be willing to let others come to us and experience that newness too. Be introduced to that powerful love and joy that Jesus has given us. And it also shows there's always hope for the person who's aggravating the you-know-what out of us. Okay? There's always hope. When Jesus is involved in through our prayer life and our lives, there's always, always, always hope. We must never give in to the pessimism that the world keeps throwing out there. Okay. Then St. Paul says, this is all to help us become authentic Christians. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or clashing cymbal. No matter how eloquent I speak, no matter how intelligent I am and share those things, if I don't have love, it's worthless. If I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and have all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to be able to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own, and if I hand my body over so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, it's kind, it's not jealous, it's not pompous, it's not inflated, it's not rude, it does not seek its own interests, is not quick-tempered, it does not brood over injury, does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Are you one of those people out there that I've heard of that say they wish that the shooter had actually killed Donald Trump? Are you one of those people? Please, please, stop, stop, stop. Do not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoice with the truth, the good part of life. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. We know partially right now, and we prophesy partially right now. But when the perfect comes, when the Lord comes, the partial will pass away. So faith, hope, love remain these three, but the greatest of these is love. Love is eternal. Anything and everything we do to bring love into the world and peace and joy and hope is eternal. It lives forever because it lives in God. God provides all that to us. Every spot of love in your heart, no matter who you are, no matter if you're a believer or not, has all come from God. You want love, He gives love. You give love, He gives love. 2 Timothy, a follower of the Lord should not quarrel, but should be gentle with everyone, able to teach and be tolerant, correcting opponents with kindness. It may be that God will grant them repentance that leads to knowledge of the truth, and that they may return to their senses out of the devil's snare, where they are entrapped by him for his will. Do not quarrel, be gentle, able to teach, and be tolerant, correcting opponents with kindness, not hitting them over the head. I'm being a little firm today because I see it happening all around me, and it's destructive. Always, in St. Peter says in 1 Peter, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. But do it with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. Okay? There's so much that we can do to make a difference in the world by the grace of God. Christians, focusing on political life and worldly life, being caught up in this, allowing the evil one to make us allowing the evil one to make us think that the politicians and the worldly concerns are our God. You might not think that they are, but how are you living your life today? Are you living it in faith and hope and spreading all of the wonderful things that a instrument of Christ would be doing? Would Jesus be sitting around the table and speaking horribly about Trump or Biden or your brother or sister or best friend? Would Jesus sit around and talk like that? No, he would encourage the good and the beauty to come out. Look for that in the world. It's all around us. It's all around us. We have power. We have influence through the Holy Spirit infused in us. Beg God for the Holy Spirit to fill us so full of himself that we can, our prayers bring down glorious things to the world, that our actions speak louder than words to the world about the beauty of being in communion and unity and with each other and listening to each other and helping each other instead of feuding with each other and fighting with each other and hating each other. Please, my brothers and sisters in Christ, please reject all of this evil and horror that the evil one is bringing into the world and his accomplices, which some are unfortunately are human beings who have fallen for his lies. Please reject that in your own life. Read scripture. Google encouraging scripture verses. Get out there in the world with the power given to you in your baptism and in your life. You have been infused with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. You have power that you don't even know you have. You can reject Satan. You can demand that he leave your family in the name of Jesus Christ. You can demand that he be thrown out of the situations you find yourself in and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and fill those spaces that the evil one has been cast out of. You have power you can't imagine, but it can only be used for good and for God's purposes, not for our own. Okay? So, the Lord says, God will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him, trusting in him. If you have trouble praying, pray the Serenity Prayer. The Serenity Prayer is the one that we've all heard of. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, especially with your grace, and wisdom to know the difference. We are fighting battles that we have no control over, y'all, that we can't make a difference in, and ignoring the little wonderful things that we can make a difference in. So I have to go in a couple of in a minute or so, but I just want to encourage you to take hold of what you have, the good, the beauty, and the joy of the Lord in solving problems of the world and bring together in unity people and reject what the politicians and what the media is trying to do in dividing us and causing us to hate each other, dismiss each other, and walk away from God in the process. Be who you are, a daughter and son of the Most High God, filled with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. God bless you. I'll talk to you next week.